Okay, so I'll read in today, and we're going to focus on a verse, but I'll read the whole passage just to, because it's always good to read God's word, is Matthew 20, verse 20 to verse 28. Matthew 20, verse 20 to 28. It's one of those passages that's very challenging. So let's hear God's word. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and on my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's God's word. And thank God that that is God's word. The last verse is what we're going to focus on. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Son of Man, just so everybody's clear, as we know in Christian songwriting, Jesus has been called Son of God and Son of Man. And the writers, with the best intentions, and they're not wrong, try to show that that means that Jesus has two natures. He's God and he's man. It's right, but the Son of Man is actually a divine title. It's a title ascribed to the Son of God in Daniel chapter 7. We might go into that one day. So when you see Son of Man, you don't have to be frightened by these people on the internet who say, "Ah, Jesus never said he was the Son of God. He said he was the Son of Man, so he's totally human, just like you." Yeah, nah. It's a divine title. It's okay. Don't worry about it. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. The tenor of Jesus' life was one of humility, was one of what you might say, indifference even. Most of his life we know nothing about. Most of his life was spent in poverty, obscurity, and in, as I said at my father-in-law's funeral a couple of weeks ago, the land of Jesus, like it is today, was a land of occupation, war, bloodshed, division, misery, and oppression. The land flowing with milk and honey is a land that flows red with blood pretty much continuously for 3,500 years. It was one you would not think of it as a great life in that sense. The rulers of the world, the rulers of Jesus' day, lived in magnificence, in palaces, heads of empires. They lived in luxury. And into that world the Son of Man came in poverty, not to be served, but to serve. The greatest picture of him serving is the night before he died, he washed his disciples' feet. It was seen as the lowest of the low in society did that. You'd have to pay me an awful lot of money to do that. I wouldn't do it. Yeah, we'll never do that at SVC, so don't worry. Some people do it around Easter time. Never will I ever have that on my watch, but I'm not as humble as the Lord Jesus, you see. He did it to show how humble he was and how much he loved his friends. The Roman emperor would not have done that. Great emperors of the empires next to Israel in that day would not have done that. The Egyptian pharaohs would not have done that. If any of them would have done that, the subjects would have been aghast. They'd say, how can the emperor do that? It's ridiculous. I'd imagine many of today's leaders would not do that. But it's a sign of humility. The greatest act of service that Jesus did was his death on the cross for our sins. And there's a word here that we don't use so much today called ransom. In the ancient world, as it is today, a ransom payment freed somebody. In the ancient world particularly, if someone owned a slave, you could free them if you paid the ransom payment. The ransom payment would be paid to the owner, and then the slave could go free. The slave could never be called back to his master or her master. The slave was regarded as a full, free, and equal citizen with their slave master or ex-slave master. They could work for the slave master, but they would be a servant, not a slave. They would be paid, they would have many things. They could leave, seek employment elsewhere if they wished. They were a free individual. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us. We are slaves to sin, born in iniquity, under the wrath of God for our sins, without hope, without God, hopelessly lost. And even our good deeds are filthy rags before him. But the Son of Man came to be served, to serve you. By paying the ransom of your sins and setting you free. God receives his payment, and it's God that receives it. Your debt is paid, your sins are forgiven, and you go free. He said it, whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am, as Hillsong says. And again, think on that. A slave was free. Imagine a slave in a massive palace. And the slave is freed. And then off he pops. But imagine the slave owner saying, yes, you're free, but now I want you to be adopted into my family. I want you to come and live in my palace, and I want you to be treated like a son. You are as dear to me, and you have all the rights of my inheritance, of my sonship, of my blessing, as my own children. Can you imagine that? Imagine if you were a slave and you'd live like that, and then the master doesn't just let you free. He says, no, I don't want you to be just free. I want you to be my son. You can have everything that's mine, now and when I'm dead. Well, that's what God does for us. The blood of Christ cleanses us from sin and brings us into a covenant relationship with God, adopted into his family. And you are treasured, precious daughters and treasured sons forever. Forever and ever and ever. And God delights in you just as much as he delights in his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 17:23-24. There's a couple of verses for you to read before you go to bed tonight. John 17:23-24, that says, God loves you just as much as he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus today, we would invite you to receive him and receive this precious gift. Not just forgiveness of sins, that would be enough, but to become a child of God, adopted into his family and beloved forever and ever and ever. and then to live the life of service that Jesus lived. Because as he said, no servant is greater than his master. And that doesn't contradict what he said about not coming to be served. That was not his aim. Yes, people did serve him, but he didn't. He was humble. And we follow him as an elder brother, not as a fierce slave master. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, who we love, who we serve, and who we want to be like. Is he your Saviour today? If he's your Saviour, then he's also your example. And he gives you the power to walk in the way of his teaching and his life. Come to him this very day and do all to his glory. In his name, amen.